When people find I'm going to be officiating at a funeral, what I frequently get is, oh, what are you going to say to make it better? I say nothing. There's nothing to say to make it better. I wish there was. I wish I had words that would fix this. It would fix the loss of Sean, the loss of my mother, my father, whoever it is that you've lost when you're thinking of loss in general. There are no words that fix that because that's not what we are able to do. So why are we here? Not to fix it, but to ensure that we know that we are not alone. We're not alone when we need other people the most. There is something about the physical presence of other human beings that makes it possible for us to continue, even when we don't think we can. Thirty-eight is too young. I think we can all agree on that. And it's hard when we're together to not think of what could have been that won't. And if there's one thing I can give you, it's permission, if you need it, to be sad about what won't be. If you need someone to tell you, if you need someone wearing a tie to tell you that what you're feeling at this very moment is the most important thing for you to feel, I'm here to tell you that that's what it is. We have this idea that we need to perform for an imaginary audience. We need to look in a particular way or behave in a particular way. And that's not all bad when it keeps us from doing things that are too foolish at work or wherever else it might be about trivial things, but about important things. There is no imaginary audience. There is no one watching any of us to make sure that we behave the right way. Because there is no right way. Guy read a couple of, well, he read a whole psalm and a part of another psalm. And the first one, I'm sure most or at least many of you know, is Psalm 23. And it's been read at funerals for millennia because it has the potential to provide comfort for us if we let it. It's not magic. It's not magic words. But what it does is it connects us with this great river of humanity that since time immemorial has said goodbye to brothers and sons and uncles. All of these people too soon. And sometimes when we look at Psalm 23, when we're looking there for comfort and we read along that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, we think, well, I guess that's for Sean. And it's not for Sean. Sean has no fear. A gracious God, the very nature of God of love and justice and mercy and grace has cared for Sean. This is for us. Because we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now because we can't get away from it. We forget as often as we can that our life is limited, but some days we just can't, and today is one of those days. Today we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And it's not comfortable, is it? It's not pleasant. It's not fun. And if it ended there, we'd be in trouble. But then it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I'm not a shepherd. I don't know what rods and staffs do for sheep. When I was younger, I read this, and it made no sense to me whatsoever. I thought, I'm going to be hit with a stick? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the guidance that a shepherd provides to keep sheep safe. Sheep need help being safe. Sheep need help working their way through the challenges of life, and so do we. And God has provided help for sheep in the form of shepherds. And he provided help for us today in the form of all of us. The very thought of grieving alone is just horrifying to me. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose someone I love and have no one to share the pain. Because one of the mysteries of the human experience is that when we share pain, it becomes smaller in the same way, but in reverse, is when we share joy. Why do we want people at a wedding? Because the more they are, the better we feel. With these people here, whether you knew Sean his entire life, or you were touched briefly by him, or you don't know him at all, but your friends are in pain, you're here that this might be better than it would be otherwise. And it is. Your presence is part of the comfort that the family needs, that Sean's closest friends need, that you need. No one shows up at a funeral by mistake. You're all here because you need to be here, because you need the comfort that comes from being part of this group that is going to remember Sean today and always, but remember him with this group of people. We go from this space just across the hall to have a bite to eat, have some coffee or juice, whatever it is that we like, and to talk a bit about Sean, to fix his memory so he won't be forgotten, to remind ourselves that the good things he did for us, he did for other people, to remind ourselves that our loss is not unique, that we're not the only one grieving, but that we are here with other people who miss him dearly. It's an amazing thing how sharing in these times can actually help us feel better. But it won't work if you're performing for that imaginary audience. In the next few hours, as we're together and then moving on into the rest of your life, Sean is going to pop up and you're going to think of something. And some days it's going to make you sad and it's going to make you cry. And when that happens, you should cry. And some days it's going to pop up and you're going to remember that thing he did that always made you laugh, and it's going to make you laugh, and you should laugh. And that starts now. If when you're talking to people over there across the way and something strikes you as funny, please laugh. I didn't know Sean. I think I may have met him once or twice at the most. But I see the effect he had on other people, and I'm pretty sure he laughed at least once or twice. I'm pretty sure he enjoyed life. Your refusal to enjoy life does not bring him back, does not provide any comfort for him. It only hurts you. So from this point on, once again, if nobody's ever let you know about this, feeling what you're feeling is entirely correct. Feelings, unfortunately, aren't really right or wrong. They simply are. So feel what you're feeling. If reminiscing with people makes you smile, that's a wonderful gift for you and for them. If it makes you cry, it's just as wonderful a gift. Because part of that rod and staff that comforts us comes from the people around us. Comes from us thinking again about Sean. Comes from us reminding ourselves that good things will continue, even if that's so hard to believe at this point. I didn't have to know Sean to be touched by his loss. I didn't have to know Sean well after talking to some of the family members, of hearing what he was like, to realize that my world is less good today because he's not in it. That's the reality of living in the world we live in, a fallen world where death and terrible things happen. So how do we work with that? By being the best people we can be today. By living the life that we have today. By feeling what we're feeling this very moment and sharing it with the people around us. We can do no greater honor to Sean than remember him as we remember him at the moment. Whether that's remembering him being silly or being helpful, being wise, whatever it might be, the honor that we do him is done best by being who we most authentically are in our memories of someone whose departure has left an irreparable hole in our lives. We can't pretend it hasn't. And the less we pretend, and the more we are who we are, the more honor we do Sean, the more healthy we will be, and the better the people around us will be also. If we need to honor the departed, whether it's Sean or whoever is going through your mind at this point, the best thing we can be is to be who they thought we were on their best day and on our best day. May we do so, honoring Sean, remembering who he was, living the life that we have before us today, feeling what we're feeling. Let us pray.